You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic holistic physician, best-selling author, international speaker, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
7 years ago, I suffered from a severe traumatic brain injury that triggered symptoms of severe fatigue, thyroid and adrenal dysfunction, and premature menopause. I was spiraling fast into a deep hole of symptoms that included short-term memory loss, anxiety, and insomnia. And I knew I had to work fast to get my brain and body back. Otherwise, I felt like I had to retire at an early age of 48. Now, brain trauma resources were slim back then, particularly in the field of integrative functional medicine. I dig deep into the scientific research papers to learn that much of my symptoms and head trauma were due to the destruction of my mitochondria in the brain. And it also contributed to the endocrine organs and musculoskeletal issues. Now, these mighty mitos, the tiny organelles that lived in just about every one of our cells, were the powerhouses of each cell, and it made the energy necessary for all tissues to thrive and function optimally. Today on the Wellness for Life show, we have one of my favorite physicians in integrative medicine, Dr. Stephen Masley. He's the best-selling author of several books, 10 Years Younger, The 30-Day Heart Tune-Up, Smart Fat, and his latest book, The Better Brain Solution. He's also a nutritionist, trained chef, and the creator of the number one all-time health program for public television, PBS, 30 Days to a Younger Heart. Thanks so much for being here, Stephen. So happy to have this talk about your new book.
I'm delighted to be with you, Suzanne.
Great. Well, you know what? Before we jump in to having a better brain, tell us something unique about you and your background.
Well, I decided to be a doctor when I was really young, and I had a really different upbringing than most. My dad was a surgeon, and before I could drive a car, if I wanted to see him, he wasn't at home. He was at the hospital. I would ride my bike to the hospital, and he would usually be like either in surgery or in the intensive care unit. And it's when I wanted to talk to him, I usually had to like do a stitch or pull out someone's NG tube. I mean, fortunately, today that's totally illegal, right? Nobody could allow a child in there. But this was the 60s, and somehow that's how things were. But I grew up thinking, God, we torture people in the hospital. How could we keep them out? And that was my goal when I wanted to be a doctor when I grew up, was if a doctor that kept people out of the hospital, made them healthy. All my medical school colleagues were always excited about surgery and procedures. I was excited about people feeling fantastic. And it's really given me a very different insight on medicine and healthcare today.
Well, I've known you for, gosh, since 2011, I believe. And every time you and I hang out, we're at events and speaking, you've been on my show several times. I love your enthusiasm, Stephen. That's the one thing that you've got. And that enthusiasm exudes youth. And so you and I are similar in that way, I think, in that we all just want everyone to feel great, whatever it is. And your books have all gone from one topic to another, but it all addresses what everyone is afraid of getting, you know, heart disease, getting fat, you know, dealing with our brain. And that's what we're going to talk today. And I know that when I had my injury, that was a scary scene. I was totally spiraling physically, but what was really scary is my mind going. In fact, I didn't tell anyone. You probably didn't even know about my brain injury.
I don't remember you talking about that.
That's right. I did not talk about it. I didn't want people to know that I might suffer from literally memory loss or anything that had to do with my brain. It was a scary scene. Very, very few people found out. And the only thing that I ended up doing to share this was write my Mighty Mito book, because in my book, it was all about my suffering.
Right.
But that memory loss was scary. And that's what we're going to talk about today, because you've got the key here. And you want to share this, you have shared it in your book. And thanks again for your book. I really appreciate you sending it to me. The Better Brain Solution. You've figured out the key steps in getting your brain back. And I know that if I had this book back then, it would have been so much easier for me. So let's talk about those risk factors the risk factors that people should know about regarding premature memory loss?
Well, I think people, what they don't realize is the number one risk factor for not just heart disease, but memory loss, cognitive decline, brain fog, is abnormal blood sugar control. And that when you eat the wrong foods and you're not active and you don't meet your nutrient needs, we cause brain cell dysfunction. And that's why people feel forgetful, or they don't remember what they read in a passage and they have to reread it, or they forget somebody's name. You know, they're having more dysfunction. And this is the number one cause today. It's 50% of all baby boomers, and it's 30% of all adults suffer from abnormal blood sugar control. I mean, there's other, causes like depression or a head concussion, an APOE4 genotype. All of those increase your risk about 300% for dementia or Alzheimer's disease. But the number one most important one that's so easy to address is abnormal blood sugar control. That's something we can fix almost immediately.
Well, what you're saying is profound, because close to 50%, if not more, have prediabetes in America or diabetes. And so what that tells me is that 50% or more are going to have dementia soon.
Accelerated memory loss. Yeah, it's terrifying. So when you ask people what's the scariest disease today, almost always the answer is Alzheimer's memory loss. It's not cancer, it's heart disease. And, you know, nobody wants to lose their memory. Not only is it painful, and that's who we are, that's our identity, but even worse, when you lose your memory, you become a burden to the people you love. And nobody wants that.
Oh, gosh, no. And that's, I mean, my mom, she always talks about old-timers disease. That's how she's Korean, and she pronounces it old-timers. But it's exactly, she's so in fear about it, you know. More and more we talk about how she can enhance her brain function. You know, she's 86 this year, and yeah, she's forgetful, and she's got to write things down more and all that. But the best thing that you're telling us right now is we've got to change the way we eat our foods so that we can stabilize our blood sugar level. So what you're saying is, you know, that insulin resistance, and that has a lot to do with blood sugar, the sugar and the way our insulin reacts or not reacts, has a big role in cognitive decline.
Well, there's two big parts to that, which I'm sure you get. So one is, if we eat too many, you know, insulin's the hormone that tells your cells to store energy. So suck glucose up, sugar out of your bloodstream, and store it and pack it away. And we pack it in our muscle cells, and we pack it away in our fat cells. But our brain cells don't have much storage capacity. So as we eat too many refined carbs like bread or flour or cereal or sugar or rice, and we have these in excess and we don't exercise enough, our storage capacity is exceeded. We can't store any more energy. It's already packed in. And so we block insulin's message. But when we lose that, brain cells are no longer able to use blood sugar for energy. And they become dysfunctional and they start declining. So in people who are insulin resistant, and we do a functional MRI and we do imaging of the brain and look at glucose uptake, the brain looks dead quiet. So despite that they've got elevated blood sugar levels or more normal blood sugar with elevated insulin levels, they're not able to use the energy and their brain cells are declining and dying. And second, here's the real killer. When you have extra insulin trying to lower blood sugar, the same hormone, the same enzyme that removes insulin removes beta amyloid. Beta amyloid's that sticky protein with Alzheimer's. So if you have extra insulin, you don't remove beta amyloid. You only remove insulin. And you get all this extra beta amyloid growth in your brain, and that's one of the big causes that we associate with Alzheimer's disease. So it's really twofold why it's so important to have normal blood sugar control.
What I remember learning in medical school, chiropractic medical school, is that our brain uses sugar really well in the brain, you know, right? Our brain, that's the number one primary source of energy, ATP. The mitochondria produces energy in our brain by the use of breaking down sugar. But I'll tell you, if you don't use your brain, meaning like you're not using it mentally, reading, you know, cognitive function, doing different types of cognitive tasks. And when a lot of us nowadays in modern world, everything is done for us. You're right. We don't even remember our spouse's phone number. We can't memorize anything.
We don't need to dial it anymore. Yeah, that's
what I mean.
Problem.
We are not using our brain to enhance the memories and the memory pathways. I think that's another big reason why the sugar is high in our brain. I don't know. That's my own interpretation.
Well, we need physical activity. We need the right food, and we need mental challenge. We need all these things. You know, we're talking about are important. It's not just one aspect that causes cognitive decline. And if you only did one thing right, I really don't think it would be enough. It's this combination of get the right food, meet your nutrient needs, control your sugar, add activity, add mental challenge, manage your stress. When you put them all together, it's an amazing synergy, and you really get much more dramatic improvement in brain function, because we see in our patients in my clinic that they're mentally quicker, sharper. We can actually document, we've published in studies, that their brain processing speed improves by 25% to 30%, and that's pretty amazing if you add all these steps together that you can get that greater result.
So then in your Better Brain Solution, that's what you've put together. You've put together all these steps. Is that right?
Well, that's the goal. 5 easy-to-follow steps that will improve your brain function and prevent memory loss.
Right. And one of the things that I really enjoyed reading was also the recommendations of supplements. You know, specific nutrients, specific orthomolecular nutrients that your brain needs for power.
Well, and you love to talk. I love your concept of mitochondrial function, because that's what makes energy for your brain, and it needs fuel, and it needs the right things. And if you don't meet your key nutrient needs, your mitochondria in the brain won't work, and your brain will become dysfunctional. So I just think that's so incredibly important that we get our key nutrient needs. You know, a really good quality multivitamin that has enough vitamin D and mixed folates and B12 and chromium, plus magnesium, plus fish oil. But there's not hundreds. I mean, there's actually a few things that with the Better Brain Solution, if you meet your key nutrient needs, it really helps protect your brain.
What I also liked is, you know, that you actually went into the second brain. Are you talking about probiotics? Super important to be able to help your communication also, because the lower brain, not the brain in the head, but in your gut, has a lot to do with also the inflammatory issues and how that can contribute to cognitive dysfunction.
Well, that's actually pretty amazing to think that our gut... I mean, I think in recent years, you and I have all seen several books come out on this gut-brain relationship, but it's more and more powerful with every year in terms of studies being published, that if we don't have a healthy gut microbiome, we're not able to process chemicals and toxins, and we don't make hormones properly, and our blood sugar goes up. And, you know, so everything, if we don't have a healthy, I think that's a foundation, something that you and I really love to promote, is if you want to be healthy, you got to have a healthy gut microbiome. It's just essential. And, yeah, so that would be one of the key nutrients we have to add is a good daily source of probiotics. So I'm really glad you brought that up.
You know, when I had I'm someone that loves to test myself out all the time. I like doing stool tests. I love looking at biomarkers, you know, 2 to 3 times a year. I track my sleep. I track my heart rate. I love it. I'm like a numbers guy, you know, gal. And what I remember so clearly was when my stool, the composition of my bacteria changed so quickly from really good healthy microbiome to very distressed microbiome after my head injury. It was strange because I didn't change how I ate, Stephen. You know, I didn't change any of my dietary. My diet is very clean. I did the same thing. Nothing actually changed except the trauma. So you've got to think about, gosh, the things that you do in your life, your lifestyle and injuries and emotional injuries, they all have impact on your gut.
Well, they do. And I mean, I would imagine when you have trauma, it probably might impact your hormones as well. And if your hormones are out of whack, well, that could affect your gut too. So there's probably a whole long list of things that may have gone to contribute to that.
Right.
But hormonal balance, gut health, food we eat, stress management. But the good news is I've discovered is I'm really trying to focus on how do you make this easy? The easier we make it to follow, the better our patients do and the better results they get. So that's really been my focus. What are the easy, simple steps people can take that will really give them a sharper brain to be more productive, sharper, and prevent health problems like heart disease and memory loss at the same time?
Well, let's talk about that. So then let's making it easy. The thing that we can control the most is what foods we eat, what foods that we can add into our lives to improve brain function and prevent memory loss.
So I'd put number one would be like plant sources of plant pigments. And perhaps the most powerful and is green leafy vegetables. People who eat one cup of green leafy vegetables a day, their brain is 11 years younger than someone who doesn't eat them. I mean, 11 years, that's a lot. And any of the, you know, colorful plant pigments are really good, like cherries and blueberries, beets. I mean, they don't have a high glycemic load, you know, when we just have a normal serving. So we really should be eating more of these colorful fruits and vegetables every day. But there's other things like green tea has really nice pigments for our brain, and most of the studies show benefit. And then there's smart fats like olive oil and nuts and seafood and dark chocolate and cocoa. All of those are foods that if you eat them regularly are shown to help improve your cognitive function today and to help you prevent memory loss. So really, I really like to focus on like a dozen foods that people can eat more often. And it's so when you do it like that, it's easy for people to follow it.
Well, then, gosh, those are all yummy stuff. I love greens. And if just for the fact that you said one cup, and is this cooked cup or is it fresh cup, one cup of
so
fresh?
So a cup of greens as in kale, broccoli, if we're talking lettuce, well, that shrinks. You know, lettuce and spinach, you know this, they shrink like 7.5 times. So I'm talking a green bean or broccoli or kale, something that doesn't have much shrinkage. If we're talking spinach or lettuce, then, okay, that's a big portion, 7.5 cups.
Got it. Awesome. Well, okay, then. We talked a lot here about what we can add and all the pretty colored, the rainbow color, the plant pigments with all this phytonutrients. How about foods that we actually should avoid, you know, how can we protect our brain?
Well, number one would be the high glycemic load foods. Those foods, when you eat them, they cause a spike in your blood sugar level. And I mean, some of them are obvious, you know, like a soda or a donut or ice cream. I mean, we don't probably need to go on. No one would recommend them, although people might like them. No one recommends them. But some of the surprises are things like whole wheat bread or granola, you know, things that are really raise our blood sugar levels. I don't think most people realize flour has the same impact, whether it's white flour or whole grain flour, on our blood sugar level. So cutting out flour, really most grains, eating a lot more clean protein, vegetable, fruit, beans and nuts, olive oil, spices and herbs, that's what we want to eat. Sugar is really the thing we got to get rid of. But sugar comes in so many forms. And I don't think most people think of flour the way they should, in that flour is really just sugar in disguise. That's the
right
number one thing we want to cut out.
How do you feel about rooted vegetables like, parsnips and carrots and beets?
Well, beets and carrots, you know, they have this high, like, look at a carrot. They say if you eat 50 grams of carbohydrate from it, it raises your blood sugar. But you have to eat 9 large carrots to get that. And I can't eat 9. That's a bucket. So if you have 1 serving of carrot, its glycemic load is 4. That's actually really low. So carrots and beets do not cause your blood sugar levels to go up with 1 serving. So I think that's been a myth that I've worked really hard to bust for a long time.
That's
the only really root vegetable that I know that really has a big glycemic load would be potatoes, especially white potatoes, especially when you bake them or you mash them and process them. That has a higher blood sugar level than table sugar. Sweet potatoes are a lot better, but they're a medium glycemic load. But I mean, it's all the other vegetables, except for the potato, have low glycemic load, even the root ones. So I'm not. I think from my perspective, they're fine based on their glycemic load.
I think that right now, you know, there's this big kick on juicing, but when you go out and get a cup of juice, and it's, let's say, a cup of carrot juice, they use a lot of carrots for one cup of juice.
Yes. So now you could get 9. That is how you get a high glycemic load thing. So yeah, you might be using 9 carrots to get one cup of juice, and you got all the sugar from all those 9 carrots. Well, that's going to be too much. So I'm not a big juice, unless it's really like vegetable, because then it doesn't have much load in it. So if you're doing kale juice or cucumber juice, I probably don't care. That might be something you would drink.
I can't stand kale. I've never been a kale person. Even those kale chips and all that, I don't like it. I love different kinds of greens, like collard and arugula. Uh-huh. I like the bittery tasting
kale
ones.
I get you.
Not kale.
So I'm okay with. I'm not a big fan of fruit juice because I think you might as well just have a soda. But eat the fruit, because then the fiber blocks your blood sugar levels from going up.
That's right. I'm a big believer in eating the whole food as well. You know, let's talk a little bit about toxins, because toxins, I treat a great deal of environmental issue patients, multiple chemical sensitivity patients, mold toxicity patients. So and all of them, they all come in with brain fog, cognitive dysfunction. So let's talk about some of the toxins that you wrote about in your Better Brain book or Better Brain Solution book.
So probably number one is mercury. That we know that mercury is hard on the brain, and probably the biggest sources are big mouth fish, tuna, grouper, snapper, swordfish. If you're eating those a couple times a week, you got to be really cautious. So in my clinic, a third of my patients have elevated mercury levels, and about 10%, they're really high, like in the 20-30 range, because they're eating just too much of those. So you can have wild salmon or sardines or shellfish, but cut out the big mouth fish and get rid of the mercury. And don't have them more than like once or twice a month. Or make sure your doctor checks your level and see it's okay. But there's other toxins like pesticides. I think we all know that pesticides aren't good for us. But if you, people who have high level of pesticides versus low have 350% greater chance of getting dementia and Alzheimer's. So that's pretty big. That's more reason to eat clean protein. And if we eat, foods from the Dirty Dozen list, that those are organic, and maybe organic tea and coffee, because those are big pesticide sources. But I think maybe the biggest surprise are the nitrosamines. And nitrosamines are like nitrates. They sprinkle on sandwich meats, bacon, bologna, hot dogs, so they increase their shelf life. They last a lot longer, and the companies make a lot more money. I know you probably wouldn't touch these, but tons of people out there are eating bacon and ham and processed meats with nitrosamines on them. And nitrosamines, they cause cancer, yes, but they also are neurotoxic and they cause blood sugar disruption. So they give you diabetes, insulin resistance, cancer, and memory loss. That's really bad. And people use a lot of them.
Most America, definitely, but not just America, all around the world, they used these types of preserved meats. And these preserved meats, like you're saying, the nitrates are super toxic, not just for the brain, but the entire body. But people don't know that, though, right? You're giving us information that is not in that. The nitrosamines, I actually wrote about that in my first book, The 7-Day Algae Makeover. It's not well spoken about. And, people, until the food industry can come up with ideas and ways to preserve meats in a much healthier way. And there are out there, aren't they? I mean, I eat organic, preservative-free bacon, turkey bacon. There are.
But you just buy it, right? You can just go to the store. You're being selective. You're buying, like, cage-free, pasture-raised, organically raised foods without nitrosamines, and they're out there, but you have to choose them. You can't just show up at a ball game and order the hot dog without being poisoned almost. So You have to be selective. You can find them, but you may have to go to a health food store to get these.
Yes, that's right. That's right. You know, I want to talk a little bit before we're done here, because we only have a couple more minutes, about the ApoE4 genotype for people. And it's something that you've got to be tested for. You could do it through a blood test. But I'd like to ask you, for the people out there that do have it, what are their special tips that they can do right now to prevent the memory loss and possibly future Alzheimer's?
Well, this is really important to me because my wife and almost most of her family have this ApoE4 genotype.
Oh.
So I'm keenly aware of this topic, and I've got many patients with this. And now that people are doing 23andMe, a lot of people are finding out their ApoE4 genotypes who didn't, you know, in the past it was kind of hard to figure out or expensive. So now it's gotten easy. So basically, there are three main genotypes that regulate like cholesterol metabolism: ApoE2, ApoE3, and ApoE4. The ApoE4 is what we originally had up till 200,000 years ago. That's what helps us fight infections and have more inflammation. And as we had less risk from inflammation and we had more risk of dying from inflammatory processes like heart disease and Alzheimer's, we've been shifting, and now only 20% of the population has the ApoE4 gene. So they get sick less often, they fight infections probably better, but they have greater risk for heart disease and memory loss. But there's some specific things they can do that really help. Number one, don't have insulin resistance. They do very poorly when they eat too many carbs and their blood sugar's up. Their brain cell, people with the ApoE4 do not tolerate insulin resistance. Their brains just start shrinking quickly. Second, exercise is really extra beneficial for the ApoE4 genotype. So they should do more strength training and more aerobics, and they get more benefit than the rest of us. And you know, because I said inflammation, fish oil is more beneficial for people with the ApoE4 than an average person. But they don't absorb it into their brains as well, and they need double dose. So they get more benefit, but they really should get double the fish oil dose, like at 2,000 milligrams of EPA and DHA a day instead of 1,000, like for a regular person. So, and then fasting. There's probably some intermittent fasting, skipping breakfast, you know, not eating from 9 p.m. to noon, 2 or 3 days a week. People with this ApoE4 gene seem to benefit. So there's benefit from that as well. So there's several things they can do. They don't have to just give up and say, oh my gosh, I'm at an increased risk. I think there's a lot they can do to improve their brain function and protect their brain. And that's really my goal with the Better Brain Solution, is give people the tools to feel better now and protect themselves from memory loss.
Well, thanks so much for sharing all that. I didn't know Nicole had that in her family, but I know with you and being her husband, there's no way she's going to have any memory loss whatsoever. I thank you so much, Stephen. I so appreciate you being here, talking about the Better Brain Solution, this new book of yours. So excited for you. The website you can go to is drmasley.com, drmasley.com. Again, thanks again. You take care now. Until next time, go out there and live your best life today, full of energy, enthusiasm, and ultimate health and wellness. This is Dr. Suzanne sharing natural strategies on the Wellness for Life show here on Radio MD. Stay well.